Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, I'm chatting with Ron Hara right now, Hara Research, LLC. Ron is getting to be on the program more and more, and you know why? Because he's a very, very astute guy, and I think he really adds to the quality of the show. We're going to discuss a couple of companies, and these are a couple of companies that Ron covers in his newsletter, Hara Research. He does not get compensated, by the way, whatsoever from any of these companies to do that, which I applaud him for. His revenue model is strictly investing in companies, and he's very transparent as to what companies he invests in and what companies he doesn't invest in, and then obviously from subscriber revenue. Ron, a couple of companies that I'm particularly interested in right now, one is a sponsor and one is not, but Laura Stein, who is a close friend of ours, has been talking to me about Pretium Resources for a long, long time right now. I know Trader Raj covers Pretium in his TraderTrax newsletter. You've obviously picked it up also. Tell me why.
It's a company with a fantastic story, and if you just look at the stock chart, I mean, I bought it last year, and right now it's near a new 52-week high. It hit a high of about 1715, and it's backed off a little bit from that right now. But this is a company that has a major multi-million ounce deposit in northern BC.
Right.
It's a company that, you know, they actually have done a feasibility study or a pre-feasibility study to go into production. But ultimately, I think this company is a takeout target for a major producer.
Well, Pretium was started, if I'm not mistaken, by the same fellow who started Silver Standard. And he is one hell of an entrepreneur and a great, great businessman, correct?
Well, you mentioned Laura Stein, and
yeah.
You know, that's the first thing that she has to say about the company. I don't personally know the management team at Pretium, but I did say that I did invest in the company.
Even though it's at a 52-week high right now, you're looking for better things around the corner, correct?
You know, let me say, I actually am not covering Pretium in the model portfolio of our newsletter. It's a watch listed company that I invested in. So I did want to point out, I do talk to the management for companies that we cover regularly. But anyway, Pretium is a company that has such a vast resource and so high grade that, you know, it's going to trade with the price of gold. So as we, you know, as gold reached a low towards the end of the year, there was a great buying opportunity.
Let's switch to another company that does happen to be a sponsor on our website and that I also am invested in personally, and I bought the shares out of the open market, and that is New Zealand Energy. How did you become intrigued by those guys, Ron?
I actually watchlisted New Zealand Energy in November of last year when it was near a 52-week low of about 90 cents. And at this point, it's $1.78. So for those who invested in it in November, they'd be up about 78% right now. Now, this is a really, really interesting story, and I think the hydrocarbon story out of New Zealand is really just getting started. I think there's some offshore potential there. There's small oil wells in this these sandstone formations. There's an oil shale story there, and there's offshore potential there. I invested in and actually put Tag Oil in my model portfolio, more than a year ago. I don't know exactly when. And that company, it's in the money now. But the reason I did it was that there's a long-term growth story there where this company is aggregating small wells, I think with higher oil prices, which, you know, I mean, we're at $100 basically now. And I think that's going to be a fixture, in fact, not to get sidetracked. But Tag Oil is a great growth story. I was, you know, came late to the company and looked at it from a value perspective in terms of the increase in production over a longer period of time, not necessarily depending on higher oil prices, but in terms of their ability to execute. New Zealand Energy has come in and actually improved on Tag Oil's model. Tag Oil kind of broke the ground. They proved that you could build a company aggregating these small oil wells. And New Zealand Energy has come. They're in the same area, the Taranaki Basin. They've got, they're right alongside, and they even have potentially a better geological model. And they proved it with their very first well that went into production in December.
There are a couple of really good companies, in my opinion. I invested. I bought New Zealand Energy back. I believe it was in December. Stock was trading around $1.04. So I, too, am a very, very happy camper right now, but I want you folks out there to be very aware that before I sell that stock, I'll certainly give you the 3 days' notice. Ron, tell me a little bit about your criteria, would you?
I look for companies where they either have a discovery or have a resource on the table. I do speculate on some exploration stories, but only with basically what you could consider special situations. But mainly what I'm investing in are companies where there's big expansion potential for the resource. So they have a discovery or a resource, and the potential is to at least double, if not more, what that resource is. So that's the kind of exploration story I look for. I favor companies that are basically production track. So if they have a resource, I'm looking for a company that has the capacity to move it into production, and it's basically going in that direction because they're creating real value. They're actually creating wealth by doing that. And it's a long road. I mean, if you look at the stock chart of a typical resource company that goes from exploration to having a discovery to having a resource on the table, then there's a long lull during which they make a production decision potentially. Maybe there's some resource updates, and then, of course, the stock price will start to climb as they approach production again. Those are the kinds of stories where, I'm looking for that valley between either on when you're going up in terms of building up the resource or expanding the resource, or in that valley before they start to move towards production so that you're on the ramp the whole time on the way to production. Now, the key to that is finding companies that are really going to make it into production. So that goes back to the people, the management team, and their ability to execute. And we aggressively monitor what we call company milestones. So we have a life cycle model which goes all the way from exploration to being a major producer. And within each life cycle stage, let's say pre-production to production or junior producer to mid-tier producer, within each category, there's actually the company's own business plan and what we call milestones, whatever their major business objectives are. And so we look for the ability to consistently execute on their business objectives. We have to understand their business plan. So in terms of what I look for management that can execute. I look for a business plan that I can understand. I'm an entrepreneur myself. So I'm, as a value investor, I'm looking for companies that are going to be successful as a business. I'm looking at it as a business owner.
Tell me a little bit about your feelings about geographic location vis-a-vis these companies.
Well, geopolitical risk, I could make a couple of different arguments about it. The first one, and probably the more important one, is that there are plenty of opportunities close to home in terms of, Mexico, the United States, and Canada. Lots of resource plays, lots of activity, lots of opportunities to make money investing in resource producers. In terms of geopolitical risk, different countries have different kinds of risks. So, for example, Argentina recently changed their mining laws, basically forcing the mining companies to do their foreign sales in Argentinian pesos. That adds cost to the mining sector, but it also creates an additional risk. I mean, the obvious question for investors is, well, okay, so they did that. What else are they going to do? Maybe they're going to raise taxes. They've shown a propensity to exploit the industry when they get into financial trouble. So, it's unclear what they'll do next. That's one argument for Argentina. The other argument is, hey, it's some additional overhead. The companies that are there are doing just fine, and I could name a few. If you look at someplace like Mongolia, you might know that they made some regulatory changes that damaged the industry a few years ago. Companies are going back in now to Mongolia. So here's what I think. I avoid places that are obviously unstable, even if they have significant resources. But when you're talking about, taxation, regulation, and the problems with the governments in different countries, I think that you can diversify across different geopolitical risks. So, in other words, how many plays in Argentina do I have? I might have a small part of my portfolio in Argentina, maybe a couple of companies there. Maybe I have one company in Mongolia. So there is a risk, and it's a risk that you don't necessarily have in North America, although even that's a little unclear these days in the United States. But let's just say that risk doesn't exist in North America. And all I'm saying is that the other view here as far as geopolitical risk is that, look, it's not like Argentina and Mongolia and Tanzania are all going to blow up at the same time. That's very, very unlikely. So if you're going to venture away from home, I think the thing to do is actually to spread your geopolitical risk across different areas, different regions where you have those kinds of risks. And the premise of it is simply, hey, you know what? They're not all going to blow up at the same time. I mean, if you win two and lose one, c'est la vie.
There you go. Okay, some insights from Ron Hera. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price and you could lose money, but it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing early bird special. One dozen assorted roses plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Go to proflowers.com, look for the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 7777. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. The price of roses will skyrocket during Valentine's Week. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings. You pick the delivery date, and it's guaranteed. Guaranteed. One dozen stunning assorted roses sent fresh from the fields, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least a full 7 days for only $19.99, and will include a free vase with every order. Remember, the price of roses can double, even triple during Valentine's Week, and this early bird special expires Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit proflowers.com. Look for the radio microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 7777.
Do you use a CPAP breathing device to help treat sleep apnea and prevent snoring? If so, you should know big insurance companies and government regulations can affect the way you buy sleep apnea equipment. They decide what devices you receive, when you get replacement equipment, and even what you pay. Why limit the quality of your treatment? Break away from institutionalized healthcare and shop where you set the sleep therapy standard. Shop at CPAP.com. See what? CPAP. It stands for Continuous Positive Airway Pressure. CPAP.com has the equipment you want in stock and ready to ship today. Visit CPAP.com to see all of your sleep apnea equipment options. Or call toll-free 1-855-SNORE-11. That's 1-855-766-7311 to speak with a friendly sleep apnea expert who will answer all of your questions. Mention this ad for free shipping. Again, that's CPAP.com. CPAP.com. CPAP. Your money, your treatment, your choice.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orticillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes. Whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. I'm Al Cortland. Appreciate you joining me. Got Sean Broderick on the line with me from Weiss Research. You know, Sean came out with a very, very interesting missive earlier in the week in his newsletter, Uncommon Wisdom, where he was talking about his feelings about reasons to buy junior mining companies right now and going on and saying this is what you really need to look for before you purchase a junior miner. I want to chat about that with him because I think it's an interesting review for everybody. Sean, number one, thanks for joining me, buddy. I appreciate it.
Always good to talk to you.
Okay, why do you like junior miners right now?
Well, I actually like the mining space in general, but especially junior miners because they are so undervalued. For years now, we've seen the price of gold go up and up and up, and yet these things have just been hammered and either gone sideways or else sometimes, you know, even gone down.
Right.
And so at the just in the last few weeks, I just have really looked at them and said these things are at a great spot. They're in a good place to really pick up because I think this is going to be an extremely good year for gold. And also, I think, just as a value play, we have seen so much money shift into bonds, and I think that's going to start to come out of that. It'll look for the real values to go into, and I think these mining stocks will be one of the places where you'll find that real value.
I agree 100%. You know, I invest, as listeners are aware, in mining companies a lot, and everybody knows what my portfolio is specifically. But the reason I invest in them as an adjunct to investing in the metals themselves is because the leverage available in junior mining companies is really, really huge. Now, my personal feeling is that if we see, for example, a 15% increase in the price of gold, I think the corresponding increase in the price of the miners will be significantly higher, just my opinion. Would you agree with that?
Well, it should be. It all depends on the individual miner. One thing we have to remember, one thing that has weighed, there are a whole number of things that have weighed on, like, mining shares, and we can pretty much, you know, just look at all of them. But one thing that is really important is that the costs of mining are actually going up for miners due to fuel costs and stuff like that. And so as long as these companies can keep their costs under control, which is why it's so important to look at that when you're looking at a miner, how are they doing controlling their costs? As long as they can control their costs, they are extremely leveraged to the price of gold. And so, yes, I think there are some that can do extraordinarily well.
You posted your video, a video on your website dealing with a speech which you gave, I guess, probably at the Money Show and also at the Cambridge House Show, which we both attended, where you talked about the five things that an investor needs to consider prior to getting involved in a mining stock. Let's go over those real quick.
Sure. Well, the first thing that you want to look for is you want to look for a company that has a pound in the ground on a good piece of real estate. And by that, well, of course, everyone knows what you mean when you say they must have pounds in the ground. Sure, they need ounces and like stuff like that. But by the good piece of real estate, I mean that you want that project in a friendly country.
Right.
One that is mining friendly, one that will allow them to grow, one that will not soak them with all these, you know, new taxes that they suddenly come up with when the mine starts to turn a profit and stuff like that. That's important. And also, real estate also refers to the fact that I want, or I would prefer, let's say, if, like, their projects are next door to larger miners. So as those larger miners look to expand, the easiest thing for them to do is just to move right down the road, you know, acquire these smaller companies
sure.
that are close by. So that's why the real estate is just so important that way.
Okay. What are the other four?
Well, certainly one thing you want to look for in a junior miner is good management. It's crucial to have a team that has built mines before. I mean, it's not absolutely crucial, but if you have that, that just shows you that this team actually knows what to do. They have been through the process before. Maybe they had one of the larger companies, you know, swoop in on the last one. Now they're off doing something else. We see this time and time again. A team that can succeed once can succeed again, and that's very important. Then on, like, the third point I would make is just follow the money. All the CEOs, directors, managers, the insiders of the company must report when they purchase shares or else when they sell shares. And so they have skin in the game. And if they are buying shares of their companies on the open market, which many of them do, that shows you they believe their stocks are cheap. And if they believe their stocks are cheap, you might want to buy them too. I think that the fourth point would be you want to look for those companies that have cash or ready access to cash because, for example, a gold explorer that doesn't have any cash and has to keep heading back to the market to raise cash and therefore diluting its shares, that's probably not going to do well. But if you have a well-financed junior that is, you know, it really has the cash to ride out those ups and downs and to expand its own projects and stuff, that's one that can really succeed. And the last point I would make is that it is important for the junior miner to have a clear path to production especially since investors are so nervous about the global markets now. Even if they don't have that, if they have a track record where they keep adding to their known resource, you know, year after year, that just shows that they have a much larger potential there than what they initially had. And I think that's what the big fish are looking for. It's so much harder for these big companies to find the big projects anymore. They have to buy them. And even now, they can't actually purchase really big ones because there aren't that many around. So they're moving down the scale. And so if you have a junior miner that has one, maybe two operating mines, but has the potential to really expand its resources, I think that's the kind of thing that a big miner will look at and say, you know what, we could scoop those guys up and we could really put those projects in the pipeline and just work off of that. So I think that's kind of the direction we'll see these things go.
I'm curious when you talk about, you know, pounds in the ground on good land. I'm just curious about one thing, and I think this is an important issue for people to consider, and that is, obviously, we're very comfortable with most properties in the United States. I would say I would probably shy away from California, only because they have some very, very, I think, stringent, almost unrealistic green laws down there. But for the most part, the United States is great. Canada's great. How do you feel about Mexico, real quick?
Well, it all depends where you are in Mexico. Though I have seen some miners in, like, parts of Mexico where you think they might have problems, and yet they've just been able to work things out. For some reason, they aren't really bothered. Then again, we have heard about some that have had trouble down there.
Yeah.
But Mexico, you really have to know the land. You have to know what's going on. That's why making these, like, site visits like you and I do is so important, because you have to get the feel for what's actually, you know, happening down there.
You hit the nail on the head. You know, you have to know where you are and then go on from there. I want to stress, though, the one thing in Mexico that people have to keep in mind is that the federal government and the various state governments down there are very, very supportive of the mining industry. And quite
absolutely,
frankly, and quite frankly, that's one of the reasons that I think Mexico is a very, very good place to be. I'm also personally very comfortable in South America, other than perhaps in places like Venezuela. I wouldn't even consider investing down there. But for the most part, I think South America is a really good place to be also. You know, you and I have traveled extensively down there visiting various properties, and I don't have a problem with that. So I guess I would say, in general, when I look at pounds in the ground on good ground, I would have to say, for the most part, the Western Hemisphere is a pretty darn safe place to be. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
When's the last time you had a chance to buy a ticket to paradise? Listen up for a truly once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Imagine the ultimate bug-out safe home, surrounded by incredible lush, fertile land, filled with fruit trees, coffee farm, fresh air, wildlife, and gorgeous views of the Pacific Coast. And you could win it for only $200. Yes, a Costa Rican family of four is raffling off their $400,000 home for only $200 per ticket. The winner scores a 2,000-square-foot, three-bedroom, two-bath house, two-car garage with bodega, guest house, nearly 3 acres of fertile coffee farmland, and a 1978 diesel Toyota Land Cruiser. All for only $200 per raffle ticket. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Hurry, raffle ends April 30th, 2012. For complete complete details, visit CostaRicaRaffle.com. That's CostaRicaRaffle.com. Get your ticket to paradise today at CostaRicaRaffle.com.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com, your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Has the United States been discovered in the Bible?
Where does Islam fit in Bible prophecy?
Is the new world order world government?
These and other crucial end-time questions are answered in the new DVD package, Understanding the End Time, from End Time Ministries. Jesus Christ said, "I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe." After you watch this 14-lesson DVD series, Understanding the End Time, you'll know more about Bible prophecy than the average seminary graduate. This DVD package normally sells for $280, but now is only $199. Order Understanding the End Time DVD package at endtime.com today for only $199 or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. 1-800-363-8463 or endtime.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to a daily editorial of the Corlin Economics Report. Time out, Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. I've got one of our listeners on the line right now, Tony. Tony is an Australian. He is a airline pilot for Cathay Pacific. Very, very bright individual. Tony had some interesting comments on our blog pertaining to his perspective of the American people and his perspective of what's going on here in the United States in terms of government, special interest groups, what have you. And I have to say that I find it very, very refreshing to get a perspective like this from someone like Tony. Now, this is a very much of a remote. I'm here in northern Washington State, as you guys know, and Tony is over in Hong Kong. So I know it's going to be pretty clear. Let's hope it's clear enough. Tony, first of all, thanks a lot for chatting with me. I appreciate it.
That's okay. Pleasure to be with you.
Now, Tony, you lived in the U.S. for some time. You lived actually, we were neighbors of sorts. You lived down in the Bellevue area for about a year and a half, and you have some very, very interesting views on the American people. Would you mind sharing them with us?
Yeah, sure, Al. I felt, having come from Australia to America, I thought, you know, it would take me quite a while to sort of get used to settling into the United States, but I actually found it quite very similar to my own living back in Australia. What I did seem to find is that the average person in America, my next-door neighbours and my neighbours around me, were very hardworking, very interested in their family life and doing the right thing by themselves and their neighbours. But what I was slowly picking up is that There seems to be a lot of self-interest groups in America, if you call them lobby groups or whatever, and I'm sure that happens pretty much all around the world, but it seemed to me that these people who are hardworking, trying to get ahead, trying to do the right thing by themselves, by their families, by their neighbours and the country, were being, I guess, for want of a better term, hijacked by these self-interest groups. And I'm sure, you know, all that hard work, that they're probably wondering, given what has probably happened in the last 4 to 5 years now, is, you know, what happened to America? What point of mean, doing all this hard work when I seem to be put back five places. I've worked very hard and now I've been brought back five places, another place where I started from almost, and I've got to now work hard again to get back to where I was. So I just felt sort of that these people were being sort of hard done by these groups, and I just don't feel that that's a sort of a fair thing for these people to have to go through.
And then obviously, you know, if I can just take it to the next level, that obviously takes it to the highest level, which would be the federal government. And as I understand what you're saying that the federal government perhaps doesn't have the best interest, you know, of its people in mind. Would you agree with that?
Well, I do. And I think that's a problem with the leadership, that the leadership allows itself to be influenced by these groups. And I'll take that even a step further, because whilst government has a place, I think, in any country, to a large extent also big business does have a very big influence on how that country runs, how it's perceived, and the leadership within big business, I think, has failed its own people as well. This has to be fixed, and I think that the form of, I know there's a lot of isms in that have been spoken about. You know, we talk about capitalism, we talk about socialism, we talk about lots of these isms, but I just wondered whether we need to take a step back from all this and have a hard look at how we pigeonhole how we live our lives. We've got to be a bit more intelligent about how we see and do things, not just hang on a few generalizations like capitalism. What does capitalism actually mean? How can it be improved? Not, oh, capitalism gives me the opportunity to make money, and then I can make more money, and then I can make more money, and then I can do that at the expense of the others that are around me. So I think it's just, things just gone a little bit too far now, and it has to be brought back, and it has to be reviewed, and we have to have a more balanced, I always talk about this in my own life, a more balanced approach between, yes, getting ahead, but not doing it at the expense of other people.
Well, pure capitalism, you know, and I guess I would use the word here, free market. A free market doesn't mean, in my mind, getting ahead at the expense of other people. A free market means you do the best that you can, and if it works, you know, you can take as big a piece of the pie as you deserve, as opposed to taking advantage of other people and getting a larger piece of the pie, not because you deserve it, but because you're taking advantage of these people. I would maintain, Tony, that what we have in the United States right now is predatory capitalism. And by that I mean, you know, we have people who are so close, and many listeners would say going over the line in terms of, you know, breaking the law in their business dealings. And I find it interesting that those people actually are not being prosecuted. I mean, let's look at John Corzine, for example, came out in the news here earlier this week in the United States that MF Global has no idea where all that money is. Well, you know, he's living in a pretty damn nice house, and I bet you he's driving a pretty nice car. And how can he walk away unscathed when his company has taken literally $1 billion, if I'm not mistaken, from investors and simply lost it? I mean, to me, that's absolutely unconscionable. And I think that's what you're saying, isn't it?
It is. And I think the reason that he can walk away from these type of things is because things have become so complicated and the regulatory environment is just not robust enough to handle these sort of things. And people do work out ways to get around weak laws. And I bring it back to a very, very basic thing. We need to control, unfortunately to say, we need to control the human urges. And I mean that in the way that people see an easy path, they will take it. Unfortunately, they don't know how to control themselves. And I'll take it back to even a very basic level. If you were to go to a hockey match, and even with the referees, there are fights.
Right.
You know, if you were to just go to any game, NBL, basketball, hockey, tennis, whatever, and we had no referees in there whatsoever, I wonder what sort of games we would see. All we would see was a bunch of guys who would start off quite nicely and then it would turn into a melee very, very quickly. And I think this takes it back to its basic form. We need regulation. We need strong regulation. We would never go and see a very good game of football or hockey or whatever without having a good referee who enables the game.
Yeah, I agree 100%, but I just want to be clear on one thing, and I think I am. Sure. I don't think you're talking here about government over-regulation, government basically controlling a market. I don't think that's what you're saying. I think that what you're saying is laws in place simply have to be enforced. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. That's exactly right. And once those laws are in place, we can't have them being diluted or chipped away at. Once they're in place, just because someone doesn't like the rule, sure, they can evolve and they can be sort of tinkered with a little bit, but there's been some wholesale changes in the law which people could argue, and I would also argue, that has allowed or enabled the very situation we see today with the 2007-2008 financial crisis. So we've got to have these laws. They've got to be enforced. Yes, regulation, I certainly don't want government interference in regulation. Everyone butts their head against the wall every time they talk about government regulation, because it's just bureaucracy. It's not even regulation. It's just a bunch of paperwork and bureaucracy. People don't want to make decisions. But laws have to be enforced, and those laws need to be enforced because human nature tends to take over and will go through the easiest path to make money, and if they can get away with something, we will get away with it.
And there you have it. Laws have to be enforced. Big Al agrees 100%. That does not mean over-regulation. There you have it from Tony.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Did you know that how well your brain works is directly dependent upon how well your gut works? Did you know that an inflamed or compromised digestive system directly contributes to poor focus, depression, irritability, attention deficit, and hyperactivity? By eliminating the inflammation in your intestines and by having good bacteria populations, you may enjoy better brain function. The most important protein your body needs to keep inflammation down is glutathione. The number one food to support a dramatic increase in glutathione production is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. Virtually all whey proteins are damaged by heat, filtration, and chemicals, except one. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein on the market. It is changing the lives of its users in very positive ways. One World Whey may act as one of the most important health foods to support you're in your child's optimal brain function. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Warning. The unprepared may not survive the next natural disaster, terrorist attack, or economic collapse. In light of recent global unrest and natural disasters, we bring you this urgent message from David Morris, author of the acclaimed Urban Survival Course. Because this message is urgent, we won't waste time on the why you should act now. You already know why. It's the very real and growing dangers reported in the media every day. Now it's the what you must do. Go to freesurvivalminicourse.com and claim your free Urban Survival Mini Course that will prepare you for breakdowns in civil order. Today, David Morris is offering you instant access to his 7-part Urban Survival Mini Course at freesurvivalminicourse.com. You should already be at your keyboard. Enough talk. Act now, while you still have time and while it's still free. freesurvivalminicourse.com. freesurvivalminicourse.com. Or call 877-403-7076. 877-403-7076. You'll be glad you did.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, here to wrap up the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report. I've got a gentleman with me, and we're going to talk a little bit about real estate. You know, that's something that we don't talk about a lot on this program, and I have to say, I think that we should be talking about it more. And the reason I say that is, as you folks out there are aware, about 25% of the little blonde lady in my portfolio is in real estate. I got into it just fairly recently, about 2.5-3 years ago, because I saw bargain basement prices, and I don't think the market is not going to come back. I think it's very definitely going to come back. I think the horizon perhaps is certainly not short term, but you know what a great investment to leave to our kids, for lack of better terms. I have a national real estate and mortgage expert on the line, Stuart Verner. Stuart has been on Fox News. He was on just as recently as about a week ago. He's located in Florida. He's really got the pulse on what's going on in the real estate market. We're going to pick his brain a little bit here. The reason I think this is very appropriate right now is, as I was telling Stuart when we were off the air, was driving back up to our place from Bellingham, Washington yesterday, and I was kind of noticing all the new construction that's going on that's even visible off of Interstate 5. And then I drove into our area where there was absolutely no construction going on, and we've got a number of new houses going up. So I don't think we've turned the corner, Stuart, but I do think now's a pretty good time to be investing, huh?
It's a wonderful time to invest, and but buy for the long term. I mean, you're not going to flip today. Those days are over. But you can get a good cash flow and a good return on your investment today because there's a lot of renters out there.
There are a lot of renters out there. I mean, we've got, as I was mentioning to you off the air, we own a couple of condos in the area that we live in, and you know, one of them we're renting, and the rental demand right now seems to be pretty high.
It is very high, and as an investor, there are some unique opportunities out there that you mentioned, condominiums.
Yeah.
There are a lot of smaller condominium projects, and larger ones too, but depending on what you have to invest, where the associations are into some deep trouble.
Right.
And even if someone comes along who's a gold-plated buyer and wants to buy their condo to live in, if the building and the doesn't meet the criteria of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac guidelines, in other words, it has to be almost all owner occupied, the association has to be, all the dues have to be pretty much all current, it has to be very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be able to get a loan in these condos. And you see a lot of buildings that are being just sold, the whole building at fire sale prices. And you can buy 8-10 of those units. You can end up owning the whole building and turn it into a nice little apartment building at a pretty cheap price per unit.
You know, I don't know a lot about real estate down in your neck of the woods, but I understand the real estate market is very, very favorable right now for buyers in the state that you're in, which is Florida. I understand that in parts of Nevada, specifically Las Vegas, it is incredibly attractive. In California, for example, my wife and I spent 3.5 months in the desert last year and almost bought some a unit down there, and for a variety of reasons elected not to do it. But, boy, you talk about fire sale prices. In the desert, anyway, I'm seeing 50 cents on the dollar, or in some cases less.
Yes, even less in Las Vegas, but even here in Florida, you can buy beachfront property at wholesale prices today. And you have a lot of people, interestingly enough, coming from foreign countries, a lot of people from Israel. They're buying here in Florida as second homes, and a smart thing to do if you can afford it. And what, if you can't afford the second home, it's a great time to invest.
What do your clients, for lack of better terms, what do you tell them that they should be looking for right now? Starting out with the question, how does one jump into this market?
Well, are you talking about as an owner-occupant or as an investor?
Investor.
As an investor, you have to look at the cash flow. That's the most important thing, and I think you'll see a much higher return than you did in the past, but be sure to leave enough figure that you need enough to be kept for reserves, for repairs, for maintenance, for vacancies. A lot of people don't think of that because it's probably about 10% of what you have coming in you should keep as a reserve. But
yeah.
Look for cash flow. I mean, you're going to get record low interest rates. I've never seen it this low in my life, and I'm not a kid. And it's the time to buy, and then maybe 5 to 10 years from now, you'll probably double your money.
How tough is it to get a loan right now? And the reason I'm asking the question is when we purchased our homes, we've got, you know, we don't have meaningful mortgages on them, but when we purchased the two condos that we own up here, the question of owner-occupied never was an issue because we were owners and we were occupying. But if I were to go out right now, for example, and want to purchase a condominium with, you know, 10%, 15% down, and I was going to use it for a rental, I understand a loan along those lines is pretty tough to get right now.
It's going to be hard to get. It's always been harder to get a non-owner-occupied loan than an occupied loan.
Right.
Typically, when people get in trouble, they're going to give up the investment before they give up their residence. Today, I don't know if that's necessarily true. But it's always a little harder to get the non-owner-occupied loan, and I think you're going to have to come in with probably 25% down.
Well, don't you think that's the way it should I mean, in my opinion, I think that's the way it should have been since day one.
It should have been that way all along. I mean, even people that are owning their homes, you can still get in with 3.5% down on an FHA loan, but you have to qualify today, and that's the key. And it should have always been that way. I mean, you couldn't let people just sign their name to anything and get something they could never afford.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
As our listeners are aware, I was on the board of directors of a bank for 22 years in Oregon, and we were basically a real estate institution. We weren't real big, but, you know, we traded on NASDAQ, et cetera, and I remember in the latter part of the 1990s when the Community Reinvestment Act came out, I happened to be sitting on the loan committee at just as directors did periodically, and I remember that the CRA came out, and I just kind of looked at our president and I said, this is the beginning of the end right here, because the people, the applications that I'm looking at right now, there is no way these people are going to be able to keep these places.
You're absolutely right. I was in the mortgage business for over 20 years.
Yeah.
In fact, I had the second largest company in L.A. County, which is not a little county by any means.
No.
And when this came out, the Community Reinvestment Act, we actually had people from Acorn picketing our office.
Yeah.
And we were forced to make bad loans.
It's really interesting. A lot of people don't realize that, but I have to say that the real estate bubble in the United States, it wasn't instigated by a CRA, i.e. the federal government, but it certainly was exacerbated by it.
Yes, it was exasperated, and what they did was they get that mentality that everyone is entitled to own a home, and really all you're entitled to do is to work and save the money and to achieve what you earn. There's no entitlements, and that's the problem with everything in this country, is this entitlement mentality.
Unfortunately, that almost sounds un-American, but fortunately, with the current philosophy, but fortunately, Big Al agrees with you, as do 100% of our listeners. I don't think there's any question about that. So you're
saying, we've all got to get out and vote next November.
Yes, exactly. But what you're saying then is that really, real estate right now, if your horizon for a return is 5 or 6, or let's say 5 to 10 years, you think it's a pretty good place to be. I do, but I'm not the expert as you are.
Well, I do, because you're going to typically, several years ago, when you were buying real estate, you weren't going to really see much cash flow on your investment. You were banking on appreciation.
Right.
Today, I think you will see the appreciation, but you're going to also see a very substantial cash flow, and you're certainly not getting anything in the bank with your money. And
yeah.
That's the way to go, I think.
Why are you seeing substantial cash flow, Stuart?
Well, because the rental market is very strong, and you're buying things at half the price of what it was, yet rentals are staying what they were.
Yeah.
I don't see rentals dropping much at all, even in my own personal rental property. Property values have dropped 50%, but I've maybe dropped rent maybe $100 a month. It's minimal.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I tell listeners I've never made a nickel off of real estate until probably 10 years ago, for lack of better terms. But then I realized, you know, exactly what the situation was. When I started to make a little money in real estate, the market was really winding down in the Northwest, but I got lucky. But I have to tell you, I think the opportunities that are out there right now are absolutely incredible. Tell us what you do.
Well, what we do right now is we're helping people get out of over-encumbered property when they have made the business decision that just doesn't make sense to keep the property. The banks really aren't doing anything to help the people. And up in the Northwest, California, Oregon, Washington, they're basically non-deficiency states. So, I mean, legally they can certainly walk away from their property, and people are doing this all over the country. And where you are, they can't get sued by the bank. It's almost an impossibility. And what we do is help them make a strategic exit where they can get out with the least amount of credit issues and, more important than that, not have to be taxed on what the lender writes off. Because in your state, typically all a lender can do is write off debt.
Stuart Verner, thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you, Al. Have a great day.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNLive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.